The following video was made from home movies taken by Christian and Missionary Alliance worker Carter D. Holton in the Chinese province of Gansu and neighboring areas, including Tibet. The film was recorded in the 1940s. This soundtrack was recorded by Robert Carlson with some assistance from Robert Schuster on August 21, 1995, at the Billy Graham Center Archives in Wheaton, Illinois. Mr. Carlson, as a boy, knew Mr. Holton and grew up in the area shown in the film. Right now, we see several people pulling two-wheeled vehicles down a dirt road.
This is in one of the cities in the area. Holton spent most of his time in the city of Hezhou, which is today called Linxia. So I think that many of these would have been taken in the vicinity of that city.
We've now switched to color.
This is a Huagan. The passenger is Laura Holton, Mrs. Holton. The terraced fields are typical of that area of Gansu. The soil is called loess or something like that by the geologist. It's a very, very deep, very, very fine soil. Loading luggage
onto a pony or
onto a horse for travel.
Is that a typical type of container?
Yes. This thing is a shanze. It's made of a mat covering it, and passengers ride inside, and it's carried by a couple of mules. It's a most uncomfortable way to travel, used primarily by women and children.
Do you recognize that site they're passing?
No. I would guess that it's probably in the area of either Lanzhou or Hezhou, Linxia.
Here are people
Laura
holding
Holton
up a truck.
Is getting up onto the truck. She's on the top of the truck. That was probably in Lanzhou, which was the capital of the province. Hezhou was...
And here we see several people once again loading up
donkeys.
Yes,
loading up, probably for the trip from Lanzhou to Hezhou, which was a couple of days. Laura Holton at the extreme
left. Is that her husband next to her? Or?
No, he would be taking the picture. I don't recognize anyone else. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure where this is. I suspect that it's Hezhou or Linxia, as it is called today.
Here we see a street scene of people walking along the city walls.
Inside the town. This is the CIM headquarters in Lanzhou. I recognize the Moon Gate. Quite possibly the mountain pass between Lanzhou and Hezhou. I imagine that this is Holton's returning from furlough with all of their equipment and stuff. I noticed on one of those suitcases the initials CDH. Yes, this one, Carter
nice.
D. Holton. This was the normal means of travel in that area.
By horse and mule.
The roads which would handle carts had to follow the valleys and were slower. Ferry across the river, I think probably the Xia River at Linxia, at Hezhou. But I'm not sure. Another ferry, I think you see ice flows going down the river there. That thing is propelled by a couple of oars.
This was a private business?
Mm-hmm. And you see them here towing the ferry upstream a ways, from which point it will start out, and together with the flow of the current, it'll end up at the proper place on the other side. We've got two of them here. getting an animal out of the ferry could be a little bit tricky. Mule's a bit balky. In we go.
Halfway.
Come on, come on. That's right. On the right, a Muslim.
How can you tell?
His hat. These are logs being floated down the river. This is not transportation for people, but it's the way to get logs from the wooded areas downriver to the areas where the wood would be used for building materials. A couple of raftsmen on there, I believe they're Tibetans, and you can see that these rafts are made of several sections, sort of like a semi that has a couple of trailers on it.
Do you recognize the river at all?
It could be the upper part of the Xia River, which goes past Lin Xia and then into the Yellow River. But it could be any one of a number of places.
Switch to black and white again.
That's what you call whitewater rafting? I've ridden one of those, but not through rough water like that. These are mills for grinding grain. The boat is tied so that it doesn't float downstream. The wheels on the outside are connected to two millstones inside. One of them is fixed and one of them turns. The grain is poured through a hole in the top. Here's this fellow is cutting a millstone, and you see the grooves that he is making in there.
And they're used for?
They're used for grinding flour.
But I mean the grooves are?
The grooves carry the flour out from the center hole where it's poured in, out to the side, and it just flows out into the ground.
And these large wheels?
These large wheels carry water from the level of the river up to the level of the adjacent fields. They're powered by the flow of the river, and the water as it reaches the top, the bucket which holds the water tilts and falls into the trough which carries it up to the field. These fellows, I believe, are panning for gold. I don't know what river it is. It may be the Yellow River up above Lanzhou someplace. Judging by the size, that's quite possible. There are some areas up there where they do find gold, and I think that that's what these men are doing. Part of the same
panning
process here,
certainly.
Panning it, then eventually you'll see him with a bowl. Here he is. Fording a river, I believe it's Laura Holton at the left.
Dogs.
I don't know whether these are Holton's pet dogs or someone else's. Street scene.
Is this a market?
Yes. Barbershop.
Yes.
This guy is selling bread. Mother and a couple of children, Chinese. Laura Holton again. Breakfast stop somewhere. Spinning wheel. The laundry.
Beating out the laundry at the stream.
Mm-hmm. Beat it out on the rocks. And I don't know what they are doing here, whether this is the equivalent of ironing or something else. Food stall.
Much bigger
in the market.
two children with him on his horse.
Mm-hmm. A procession of some sort, I'm not sure for what purpose. There was one festival at which people would go out and cut down branches from the trees and bring them into town. I don't know whether that's part of this or not. Again, I suspect this may have been Linxia. The city, I don't recognize. It's quite possibly Linxia, where Holton's lived.
Of course, it's still surrounded by a wall.
It was at that time. Most of those walls have been torn down, although some of the towers, such as this one, have been kept.
Fruit vendor.
Mm-hmm. You're wiping out his bowl there. This fellow's a Muslim. You can tell by his beard and hat.
Oh. Is the red flag of any particular significance?
These, I believe, are Taoist priests, judging by the headgear. The fellow in the middle who is doing the dance may be in some sort of a trance. Hmm. I've not seen this sort of a festival myself.
Lots of people.
Here they are out. I think you'll see those same priests in here again. Some sort of rite out in the fields.
A lot of children.
A lot of children. Some old men, some of them very well dressed.
Is that flag with the sun on it and a Kuomintang?
Kuomintang?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any political significance to those flags. Mm. Ox cart. Funeral. There's the coffin. Here are the mourners. White was the color of mourning. They're coming out the city gate. And you see the same procession with the coffin. But now we switch to building a wall. Continuing the construction process, bricks were either sun-dried or baked. Those looked as if they were baked. Mm-hmm. Here, I believe they are laying the tiles for a roof, building a wall with pounded earth, such as the one in the background of this picture, where we've got a couple of carpenters working on something.
And what are they?
I'm not sure what they're making with that slight curve.
Oh, this looks military.
Looks military. The woman in the middle would be Muslim, I believe. As you saw the bound feet on her. She is a medical practitioner. I think she is doing moxibustion, where you put a little bit of an herb on a sore spot. Mm-hmm. Wet it with alcohol and set fire to it. Bound feet. An eclipse, August 21st, 1941.
Mm.
It was in Gansu. It was total in the area where Holton was. A girls' school doing their gymnastics.
Would that have been a school run by the CMA? Or?
No, that would have been a government school. Boys' school, or possibly a military unit, but I think more likely a school. Basketball game.
Oh.
The CNMA at this time had no schools.
We see a man falconing, looks
like. Yes, again a Muslim with a falcon. Crossing a river, a rather rickety bridge. I have no idea what river this is or where this natural arch is.
Crossing another bridge.
A peddler. It looks to me as if he may have a load of dried red peppers. He is perhaps just an individual entrepreneur, buys them in one place, takes them to another, and sells it for a little bit extra. A Muslim, washing, getting ready for prayer. Linxia, where Holton's lived, was a predominantly Muslim city. Mm-hmm.
Facing Mecca.
Mm-hmm. You notice the dry, dry countryside. This, again, would be in Linxia, a sort of mass prayer meeting of Muslims.
Prayer meeting by the river.
Mm-hmm.
Someone
now
plowing.
We have plowing. Notice the mountains in the background where still had snow. There are some in that area that go up to about 16,000 feet.
Now why do you have three teams plowing right after each other?
The guy there is sowing. See, you have one team plowing, immediately behind comes a guy sowing. I imagine they're going parallel to each other.
Oh, not the same row.
Not the same row. Then women breaking up the dirt clods.
Why would they do that after the seed is sown?
That's just the way it's done. Mm-hmm.
You have a mule and an oxen.
Yes, sometimes you see them mixed. Yes, here you've got a donkey and an ox together. Soon in here you'll see a fellow riding a wickerware, what should we call it, flat basket, which levels the earth after the seed has been sown. Plow, throw the seed, break up the clods. Here he is.
Oh, yes.
Now he's leveling the furrows by riding that thing. Now we've moved further up the valley and higher in altitude. This is a Tibetan doing his plowing with either yak or a yak cow hybrid.
Mm. Why are they harnessed at the nose?
Probably to keep them together. Yaks are rather independent-minded creatures. These are Tibetan women doing the harvesting.
Wheat?
Barley.
Barley.
if you can tell they are Tibetans by the clothing, and a Chinese woman would never appear half like naked. That, yeah. Half naked. The one sitting down is sharpening her sickle on a rock, while the others keep on with the cutting.
Now, is this one family harvesting their land, or is this a communal harvest?
I don't know whether they did it as a community effort or whether it was individual.
Because there's a group of them. So.
Yes. Now we're back into Chinese territory. These are Chinese loading up the donkeys with the crop.
Which is, can you tell?
I don't know. Wheat and barley were the common crops, but that stuff looks too long for either one, so I don't know. Flailing to beat the grain out from the heads, tossing it in the air to winnow it, to blow away the chaff. In the background, again, you see them flailing the grain. In the foreground, he has a couple of donkeys pulling a roller, another way of beating the grain from the out of the heads, separating the grain and the chaff. She's carrying off the straw off, and here they are winnowing the final step. Throw the grain and the chaff in the air. The wind blows the chaff away, just like in Psalm 1, the chaff which the wind driveth away. More of the flailing, beating process. Both men and women working together here. The city wall,
do you recognize?
I would guess to be Huozhou, Linxia. A rather well-maintained wall. Another way of winnowing, see, she's pouring from a basket and letting the wind blow the chaff away. The process has been finished. They've separated enough chaff, and you see in the background there's a sack which they are filling with the final product. Load it on a donkey to take it off.
Just like Joseph's brothers carrying off the sacks of grain.
Right.
Working by a river here.
Yes.
Winnowing again. Are these Chinese people?
Yes. Loading up the grain sacks again. Or winnowing.
Would this be happening at a particular time of year?
In the fall sometime. This is another way of grinding grain with the water wheel. The vertical wheel is powered by water and it's connected to millstones inside. Here you have a horizontally mounted wheel with water coming down from the side to turn it and turn the millstones which are up inside the building.
And here's the type we saw before.
The river boats again. Somebody's carrying off a sack of flour, the finished product.
So after all the winnowing, they would take the grain here to be made into flour?
Right.
It's a young girl with a...
with a donkey and a load of the flour. A water carrier. Another one of these big water wheels. See, an awful lot of the water gets wasted, but there's more where that came from. These are a couple of Tibetans. These, again, are Tibetans. This is possibly in Labrang, which was the largest lamasery in that area. Further north was Kumbum, which was somewhat larger.
Is that a temple or a shrine?
That's a Chorten, which is an object of worship. It supposedly has a relic of a lama. These flags are not for decoration, but they have the prayer, Om Mani Padme Hum, written on them. Women prostrating their way around the lamasery. These fellows are turning prayer wheels, which have the prayer Om Mani Padme Hum written inside them, and as you turn them, it accrues to your credit. A guy playing a fiddle. Labrang had hundreds of these prayer wheels. She's prostrating in front of a shrine in the lamasery. Oops, I guess that guy didn't like his photograph being taken.
Is this the lamasery?
I'm pretty sure this is the lamasery of Labrang. Okay, now we moved somewhere else. Tibetans stop by the side of the road for tea, breakfast or lunch break.
Big dog.
The dogs were fierce. And every tent had its own dogs. Every house had its own dogs. And they have been known to kill people. A couple of group of women here and others. These are Tibetans. A young boy.
What are they doing?
It looks as if they're doing a little bit of hairdressing. Each tribe had its own distinct style of hairdressing. Some of them had as many as 108 braids. This is in a lamasery. I don't know where this is. It could be any of a number of places. Fording a river. This, I believe, is Hizuo, or it's called Hozuo now. The hall in the extreme left was unique. I haven't seen one like that anywhere else. About 9 stories tall. Market day. Each guy offering something for sale. The fancy headdresses would indicate that this was taken at a festival time. I don't know where these were taken. I have never seen that style of dress or that style of headdress. There were some Aboriginal groups in the area. There's a group called the Dongxiang, which was near where Holtons lived. It's possible that these were taken in that area, but I just don't know.
Man, is that a baker?
It looks like it, yes. The multiple skirts are unique. The style of hair is very, very different from normal Chinese style.
Woman sitting on the ground.
Mm-hmm. It would be very interesting to find out who these people are. I imagine these pictures are unique. She is Chinese at the left.
The black blouse.
Yes, in the black and the bobbed hair. But these are traditional dress of whatever group that happens to be. Noodles.
Very large earrings in there.
Yes, huge earrings. Combing the hair. Here's a guy at the roadside stand having lunch.
Styling.
Mm-hmm.
Outside the city gate.
Tibetan monks there in that photo. A Tibetan lamasery again. Tibetan woman in the center, a Muslim at the left. The cloth robes, the red color. Those are monks. Mm-hmm. The other people are laymen. A couple of Tibetans, charm boxes and rosaries around their necks.
Another water wheel.
These are water wheels, but they are prayer wheels.
Oh.
This looks like the Tibetan village of Drakana, the grain racks. This now is back in, on the Chinese side of the border. This is a funeral procession.
People are tossing things inside the boat, it looks like?
Yes, it looked like it. I see we have a series of paper and wooden effigies, figures, which are being taken out and burned at the cemetery.
Are these ancestors? Or
they are to accompany the spirit of the deceased.
As servants?
As servants. Back to Tibetan lamasery. These are wind-powered wheels. Mm-hmm. This, I think, is in Lebrang. They had one very, very large, I think 8 feet tall, prayer wheel. Tibetan women carrying water up from the river in those tubs on their backs. Mm-hmm. New Year's time, horse racing was a big thing among the Tibetans.
How would you know it's New Year's? Is that?
That was when this was done.
Oh. Yeah.
New Year's was a time of festivity for a couple of weeks. Mm. And the women are all dressed up in festival finery. See the silver ornaments on the back. Mm. It's a display of the family wealth. And the very, very fancy hats. The sunning of the silken Buddha, which was done, again, I think about once a year. A procession of monks with the lamasery orchestra. Again, during the New Year season, a member of the orchestra holding cymbals. Here's the orchestra, the cymbal players. They're getting set for the dance, which was accompanied by drums and cymbals. The Lamassery policemen, they get the biggest guys they can find, and they keep order. Well, this may be a lama, as distinct from an ordinary monk.
In the center.
Yeah. Guy twirling a prayer wheel. We've got a couple of men in there twirling the wheels. A woman with her finery, silver, coral, amber, fox fur, otter fur. She's obviously from a very wealthy family. The long, long horns. I don't know where this is. It's too small to be Lebrun.
This is some kind of dance?
It's some sort of a dance being done by women. I've never seen this. I don't know what the occasion is. The so-called devil dance or wishing prayer dance, which is done on the 13th day of the first month, is done by the monks.
Now, is that an elephant?
Yes. That's again part of the New Year's festivities. This, I think, are part of the sorcerer class, the Ban religion, which antedates Buddhism. Tibetan Lamaism has taken over some of their beliefs and customs. Seated on his throne at the upper left is the Lama. These are monks from the Lamassery coming in. They'll be taking their places in this semicircle for some sort of a ceremony, again held during the first month, I believe.
What do the gold robes represent?
I think there are various categories of people, of monks in the Lamassery will be in the center sitting around. And then on the outside is this crowd of laymen watching and worshiping. This is not everyday wear. Possibly a lama. This is part of the dance, which is part drama, part allegory, partly for the amusement of the people, partly for the amusement of the gods. This is part of it, has undoubtedly has some sort of historical or allegorical significance. And these four actors, part of the crowd watching it. Monks sitting in the background. The silk image hanging from the roof.
Image of Buddha?
Yes, or one of the deities. This dance goes on for hours. Various scenes, various costumes.
Are they leaving now? Is the ceremony over?
I'm not sure. Possibly coming down into the courtyard where they'll join the dance. There are a number of changes of character, the different costumes.
What would these represent, do you know?
I don't know. various demons, evil spirits, this is often referred to as the devil dance. Here, I think we have skeletons.
Oh yes, they have the death head mask.
Tibetan woman. The scapegoat. Mm. He is to carry away the misfortunes of the people.
His headdress of feathers.
Yes, he's the guy with the camera is my dad. Edwin Carlson.
Huh.
This guy is half dressed, half black, half white. Hmm. And he is there in the lamasery accepting donations from the people, and then he is driven out across the river into the hills.
Is that a ceremony or is he really driven out?
In years past, they would shoot at him.
Now,
This is a road through the fields with some sort of procession coming along. Mm. The scapegoat was supposed to stay out in the field, in the hills, for a year. Mm. But he would come back after a few days and lie low for a while and then go through it again. A procession. Primarily Tibetans, probably a lama or two in there. There's a sedan chair carrying someone like that. This is perhaps after the New Year's dance or part of the New Year's festival.
It's over the black and white, it looks like, again, or no, it's mm-hmm. color.
In the back, see, you've got a chorten. This, I think, is Lebrun. Now we've moved Yak Caravan. Oh, Lebrun again, I believe.
Hunters?
Not necessarily hunters, just travelers. Mm-hmm. It was the custom to travel with arms. These are images made of butter.
Hmm.
They're displayed on the 15th of the first month for one evening. They are on a wooden framework, displayed for one evening, broken up before the following dawn.
Huh.
And it's a time of rather bacchanalian festivities.
These
are made by the monks. This is Lebrun, as it was before the communist takeover. The place was about 90% destroyed during the Cultural Revolution. It has been somewhat rebuilt, but today is nowhere near what it was in those days. Again, the lamasery, seen from the hillside opposite, the trading post, the town of Lebrun, downstream a mile or so. The living Buddha, the Lama of Lebrun on the left, his brother, and then Marion Gribeneau,
who was
a CNMA missionary in Lebrun.
And he was the one in Western clothes.
Yes. The man in the center was called in Tibetan Alo. In Chinese, he was called Huang Zhenqing. He was the commander of the military garrison in Lebrun. After the communist takeover, he switched sides and eventually became vice governor of the province of Gansu.
And that brings us to the end of this of the video.
Yes.
So, thank you. Is there anything you wanted to add?
I think not.
Okay. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.